Let's get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Evanston, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue. Man, there is a lot of segues I could go this way right now with Ryan Rashog, who's got his game-worn jersey online. Not a sex tape or anything, but game-worn jersey with the puck marks and everything else. Shogger, how you doing?
Good. Joe missed the most interesting part of that whole thing was that on the CNN update, it says Hogan, dressed in all black, including a bandana, cried when the verdict was announced. So I thought maybe he would have like stood up and flexed and torn his way out of his jacket and sort of been like, oh yeah, or something like that. But he didn't. He cried. He started crying.
That was kind of like a Macho Man Randy Savage. Can you do that again?
No, that was Macho Man I did, wasn't it? I'm confusing my wrestlers. UConn would be so sour with me right now. Oh, I think Hulk Hogan did some oh yeahs too, didn't he? I don't know.
He more so did the hand of the ear thing, right?
Yeah, but he was like the whole, what you going to do when Hulkamania runs? Like, oh, he did all sorts of that stuff, too.
Can you do that just one more? I think we should just have Rashog doing wrestler sayings one day on the show. That would be outstanding.
Yeah,
right?
You could come in as a fan when I was younger.
Who wasn't, man? Like, Hulk and his, when you're a young kid, Hulk, the Ultimate Warrior, are you kidding me? Remember the Ultimate Warrior would come into the ring and he'd jump in, then he would shake the ropes and just go crazy? Oh, he was money.
George the Animal Steel would eat the turnbuckles? That was weird. That was just weird.
I remember, Stampede Wrestling, man. The Cuban Assassin's still my favorite with his big afro and his green pants, and he would always pull out some little weapon and Ed Whalen would lose his marbles. Oh, it was the best.
And how some of it was just so incredibly politically correct. Some of the tag team guys, they'd come out and just, you're like, oh, man, the whole shtick, it's like stereotype city.
Oh, my God. Oh, totally. Yeah, you probably couldn't get away with those things nowadays in our ultra-sensitive society where you can never make any sort of jokes. But,
Well, wow, $115 million for Hulk, though. Now, will he see much of that money, you think?
I have no idea, man.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, Erin Andrews wasn't going to see the whole amount that she was awarded. You probably end up settling, and it ends up, not appealing and settling, so you end up getting less. But who knows? Anyways.
It's a lot of money. Shogger, maybe you think about making a tape and have somebody leak it. You can make a lot of money. Retirement fund.
Nobody wants to see that.
Well, you'd be surprised, Shogger. You'd be surprised what people will watch on the internet, okay?
Yeah, apparently.
Don't sell yourself short.
No comment. Let's move on.
Edmonton Oilers power play, definitely not selling himself short lately. And the key really for this team is, some people don't think that 10 games matter. What do you make of the final 10 games this season with a coach that they actually know isn't going to get fired in the offseason?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they need to be aware of just how many things are being evaluated right now. And so I think 10 games do matter. I mean, 10 games matter for a number of guys. 10 games matter for Eero Pakarainen. 10 games matter for Zach Cassian, hugely for Zach Cassian. 10 games matter for Jordan Oesterle. 10 games matter for Adam Clendenning and Griffin Reinhart. Because when the whiteboard gets filled in the summertime, where they end up on that depth chart and whether they end up as a reliable commodity for next season or as a reason for another item added to Peter Chiarelli's to-do list. And it does matter. And they're evaluating this management group, Peter Chiarelli in particular and Todd McClellan. I think they're going to learn a lot about some guys or have been learning a lot about certain guys. So it does matter, and for some, even more than others.
Interesting today from Todd McClellan, really outlining what his plan for the future is with Zach Cassian. Doesn't see him as a top six forward, which is fine. Feel, you know what, maybe it felt the pressure. That's just, he's not a guy who's going to be a top six productive forward. Doesn't mean he can't moonlight there in injuries or if he's having a good stretch here or there. But he sees him as a bottom six. But more importantly, Ryan, they're looking at wanting to incorporate him in the penalty kill because of his skating ability. So, it's interesting looking at McClellan. That's why you don't see Cassian up in the top six anymore, because they want him to try to get comfortable in a role that they think he could maybe play next year.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Do you think it's a foregone conclusion that the contract offer gets made? I mean,
no. Well, I was curious. I was looking at the other day, and I'm not sold at it because they'd have to qualify him at $2 million, right?
Yeah.
I do believe, and that Zach Kassian, like the Edmonton Oilers, gave him an opportunity that a lot of other organizations weren't going to do, right? And and I get a sense that he's rather loyal to that, so he might look at it as a situation of, well, you know what? Maybe I got to sign a 1-year deal. Like, it's possible they could do the rollback offer, Ryan, which would mean he would be a $1.7 million player instead of $2 million player. And when it's there to do in your favor as a team, I don't see why a team wouldn't do it. It's business. It's not personal. It's business. I would potentially see that as an option for the Edmonton Oilers. I'm not sold that they want to sign him as a 1-year. And maybe it's a 1-year deal at $2 million. Like, they definitely have the cap space to do it for 1 year. But I think I would lean to it's probably, 80% likely that they re-sign Zach Kassian at this point? Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think if, along the lines of what Peter Chiarelli's been talking about for the bulk of this season, about wanting to have bigger, stronger players and be a little bit more difficult to play against and be a cycle team, I think for those reasons it probably makes a certain amount of sense. But I think they'll have their head on a swivel for better options in the off season. I think they'll be looking for guys that maybe, like, Zach hasn't done much offensively, and he admitted as much today. He knows that. $2 million or that range, you know, for a fourth line guy, that even a third line guy. I mean, I guess it's not overpaying him, but, like, he's been okay. He's been okay. He hasn't been a disaster. He's been okay. At times he's looked really, really good. At times he's looked pretty mediocre, but that's kind of his MO and kind of always has been. And so I don't know if maybe they would want to invest in a more consistent player where maybe they don't have quite the same level of skill, but the effort level and the consistency, and you know exactly what you're going to get, will be there. So if there is a deal for him, I could see them having weighed a lot of options ahead of time first to see what other options might be out there instead.
Possible. Yeah, it's hard to find big bodies that skate that well, right?
Yep, I agree.
And I think that's the one issue. And I do think they like the unpredictability on the ice, not off, but on the ice, of Zach Kassian. I get a sense that McClellan and Chiarelli are both fans of that. Like, they obviously, he needs to be more consistent, but that's a word that I think you could attach to many players on this team.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if they can get Zach to embrace the idea that we don't view, you know, if you're the other management, hey, Zach, we don't view you as a top six forward. So be clear.
Yeah.
You might not fit into our top six or eight forwards. You might be on a third or a fourth line for the rest of the time you're here, but we see value in that. We expect you to kill some penalties, throw a bunch of hits, stand up for your teammates, and chip in where you can. Maybe see a second power play unit now and then with injuries. And Zach's good with that, then, and he understands that's his role and gets it and is happy to be there. Well, then, yeah, maybe the relationship continues. If he views himself as a guy, if he's going to be, you know, if he's going to go into pout mode, if he's not happy with who he's playing with, and I'm not saying he's done that, but if they get that sense from him at all, then okay, he's probably not equipped to accept the role that they view him fitting into. But I agree with your point, which is, you know, big bodies that can skate that well are fairly rare, especially ones with hands. And, you know, keep him on a short leash contract-wise, he might be decent value.
Are the Oilers good enough next season if Jordan Oesterle is in their top six?
Let's put it this way. If he's in there, I don't think it's a lock that they're not if he's playing in their top six. I mean, if in your third pairing you have a depth defenseman at a decent dollar who gives you a reasonably good game, well, that's what you're looking for with your third pair. You need some value contracts on your roster somewhere. So I'm not going to say that, like, Brandon Davidson will be a value-type contract. Jordan Oesterle could potentially be a value-type contract. Darnell Nurse at entry level. I don't think that would be an indication that they're not good enough. I think that because if he plays well, then yeah, you can use players like that all the time. I'd say it's more an indication of what their top three defensemen look like as to whether or not they're good enough.
Yeah, it's just a question because I know a lot of people are high on him right now, and that's great. I look at, taking up minutes and not making mistakes now is looked upon as, like, improvement, which it is, but is it impactful stuff? So that's always the question. And going back to Cassian, to me, the Oilers have been a team desperate for size that can play and not just be a big body and that can skate well. So for me, I'd be stunned if they don't re-sign him. I could see potentially a negotiation for maybe less than $2 million, but today's rate, maybe not on a 1-year deal because they're not in a cap crunch for 1 year and see more what they have. But if it's me right now, I would re-sign Zach Cassian.
Yeah, well, it's not like they've got guys in the minors that are beating down the door for that spot, right?
Right. Like, Jujhar Kar is really the only big body in the minors that we think is close for next season.
And he's having a hard time outplaying Eero Pakarainen, right? So, and they're both sort of lower-end, marginal NHL players that. But Cassian, he's a big guy. He can skate. He's not afraid out there. He can hit. They need those types of players for sure. But they'll be on the hunt for more of those guys too. And I guess what I'm saying is if there's another option that they feel is better value for the dollar and they know exactly what they're going to get, I could see them, maybe be willing to do that. I mean, would you rather have, would you rather have Zach Cassian in your lineup or Matt Martin on Long Island? I mean, the number is probably going to be less. He's a super, you know what he's going to be. Probably doesn't have any illusions of being anything more than he is, but he's just really, really good in his role. So I'm just saying they're looking for that kind of player.
Yeah.
But I don't think it has to be Cassian.
Yeah. If you're Matt Martin and I'm his agent, unless the Islanders give you a sweet deal, I would just at least test the free agent waters because there are very few players who play the game the way Martin does, who's an effective fourth line player. He's got 7 goals this season, 16 points. He's a guy who's physical. That fourth line and their coaching, they love that fourth line. They trust him a lot. They play regularly over 10, 11 minutes. He can skate. So, yeah, you're right. That's a guy that I guess maybe, because for me, I'd take both of them because you need a full four.
There you go.
Yeah, right?
There you go. I mean, if the Oilers want to run 3 somewhat skilled lines, neither of those guys necessarily fit great into that role. And you can only have so many fourth line guys that, Letestu's still under contract, so he's a fourth line center. Hendricks has got the extra year. So, those are good players to have in your bottom 6 forwards and give you options.
Shogar, did you fill out a bracket?
I did not. No, you ask me that question every year. I guess I should this year, hey?
Yeah, well, I just always thought you'd do it one time, man. Just try it. Well, guess what? You could be, I guarantee if you would have filled out a bracket, you probably wouldn't be as bad as Iwanek, whose bracket is busted without even the first 2 days being finished. The team he picked to win is already out.
See, and that's, And Iwanek's the kind of guy that he's grumpy about that kind of thing. He wants to do well with his brackets.
Yeah, and that's why never endless chirping from all the guys in the station because no one takes it more serious than Iwanek. So, yeah, now you just got to give it to him. It'll be awesome.
I just don't need that stress in my life, I just don't need one more thing to be let down by. I'd rather sit back and listen to everybody else on Facebook and Twitter complaining about their bracket and glad I don't have to worry about it.
And one other thing, lots of texters suggesting that if you did put out a Hulk Hogan like video, Rashog, a lot would watch strictly to see how long before you threw out your back.
Oh boy, I love the listeners of this show. Really, they're top end, but high end listeners for you. Hey?
They know all the inside jokes of you, Rashog. That's a good part about it.
All right, on.
Hey, by the way, whoever has Rashog's text message phone number, be sure to send him a text today. Say happy St. Patty's Day. Okay. Shogar, we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Take care. Have a good weekend.